Today, property buyers' plans destroyed by higher for longer rate trends. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, with our latest post covering finance and property news. Well, the combination of high prices and interest rates are seeing affordability becoming extremely stretched at a time when cost of living pressures more generally are also constraining incomes. That's according to a recent Westpac survey called the Housing Pulse Home Ownership. Over the past 5 years, Westpac's run a series of surveys about the views and plans of households, and around 2,000 Australians aged 18 plus throughout Australia, including both those in the capital city and non-capital city areas, were polled online. After interviewing, data was weighted to the latest population estimates sourced from the ABS. But in summary, this is a really small survey compared with my 52,000 rolling phone surveys. Nevertheless, Westpac says that in response, would-be buyers are pushing back the timing of their planned purchases. Less than 10% expect to transact in the next 6 months. That's the lowest share across all survey waves. But nevertheless, 60% of Australians are still planning to purchase in the next 1 to 5 years. That's well above the rates recorded in previous surveys. Upgrading and investing dominate these medium to long-term plans. Over half of prospective buyers cite cost of living issues as a reason for delays. So the standout message in 2024 is that the purchasing plans are being delayed. In fact, 9.1% of respondents expect to purchase a home in the next 6 months. That's down from 13.6% last year and the lowest result across all surveys. However, the delay is expected to be relatively short-lived, with 9.5% expecting to transact in 6 to 12 months. That's up on 8.7% last year. And a remarkable 60% planning to buy a home over the next 1 to 5 years, well above the previous 53.5% high in mid-2021. Compared to 3 years ago, there has also been an across-the-board lift in interest in buying townhouses rather than houses or units. The prospective flow of first home buyers is showing the biggest response to these pressures. Planned purchases are down materially on last year. Just 2% of those surveyed expect to become a first-time owner in the next year. Compared to 2021, those prospective buyers expect it will take 6 months longer to raise a deposit that is nearly $4,000 smaller. That said, they do remain determined to achieve their goals and are open to adapting where and what type of house they buy. Prospective first home buyers are at the pointy end of affordability and cost of living difficulties and appear to have the most priced out near-term thoughts. However, a relatively high proportion do still plan to purchase over the next 5 years, 16.3% compared with 11.6% in 2019. And the chart here shows how much of a deposit this group expects to have when they come to buy and how long they expect it will take to accumulate those funds. Both speak to intense pressures. On average, deposits are expected to be $3,600 smaller than prospective buyers had been planning for in 2021, and the timeline for saving about 6 months longer. And the proportion of prospective first-time buyers anticipated a five-year-plus savings slog have risen to 18.5% from 14.3% 3 years ago, with around half of that group expecting to take a decade or more to save, despite, of course, the higher interest rates that now exist. Nearly a quarter expect to have only accumulated a deposit of less than $20,000, compared to 19% in 2021. So this segment remains determined to become homeowners, with signs they're adapting their approach in order to achieve those goals. And separate questions identify a key spillover of this pressure on prospective first home buyers. That's the support that people have provided or expect to provide to their children to help first home buyer purchases, the so-called bank of mum and dad. Interestingly, this support also looks to be coming under some pressure. Just 60% expect to provide some form of support, up slightly from 57% last year, but below the 73% recorded in 2020. This ranges from outright gifting of a home at 9.2% to some form of direct monetary support at 26% and or a range of other supports such as providing rent-free accommodation, interest-free loans, or childminding that saves on costs and allow for return to work, 24%. Interestingly, these shares are largely unchanged on 2021, and in the case of other support, materially lower than in 2020. The reduction centred on rent-free accommodation and babysitting, suggesting that changes in living arrangements and flexible work options have had some impact on responses. The estimated dollar value of support is on average unchanged from 2021, despite some lift in the share expected to contribute over $40,000. All up, it suggests the bank of mum and dad may be becoming a little tapped out for prospective first home buyers as well. And note the DFA data on the family bank, because this is more than parents and could include grandparents and other family members, shows the average cash injection averaging around $106,000, with 57% of first time buyers seeking help from this source. But we also see a significant slowing trend. Now, it's worth noting that themes and trends do vary across the states. In terms of buyer groups, first-home buyers look likely to be a little more active in Victoria near-term and in Queensland over the medium to long-term, whereas non-first-home buyers are more positive near-term in New South Wales and Victoria and much less so medium-term in South Australia. Investor interest is particularly high in the major eastern states, and renovation plans are more elevated in Western Australia. Outside of the first home buyer space, the story looks to relate more to the interest rate situation. Prospective investor buyers have pared back plans for the next 6 months or so, but have firm intentions to buy over the medium term, with over a third of consumers planning a purchase in the next 5 years. Near-term plans are outright positive amongst prospective non-first home buyers as well. The proportion planning a near-term purchase is at its highest since 2019. And the resurgence in dwelling prices likely to have been a key enabler. Renovation plans are also more positive than last year, both near-term and further out. Now, market observers are noting this change too. Anna Porter, principal of property advisory and buyers firm Suburbanite, says investors have dropped out in droves in the past year and fewer are returning to the market. Investors with one or more properties are pushing the pause button more than we've seen in the past 3 years due to lack of access to funding, she said. Many investors that already own a property or two are the hardest hit, with the higher rates and higher assessment rates the lenders are applying, forcing many to sit on the sidelines while they want to invest. And CoreLogic Research Director Tim Lawley said pent-up demand could fuel a rush in housing activity once interest rates come down. The logical outcome would be some upward pressure on housing prices. Although, as I keep underscoring, higher for longer now is definitely getting more entrenched. But some of the state of the economy could be key, according to Louis Christopher, the SQM Research Managing Director. If the economy materially deteriorates from here, you wouldn't expect the surge in higher activity as people would hold off buying when they're worried about their job, he says. And sales results for this weekend confirms the slowing market, despite some properties still exceeding reserves in some places. As reported in the AFR, the prospect of interest rates staying higher for longer have spooked many buyers, making them less likely to spend above their budgets. It's certainly a lot more evident now compared with the start of the year, when there was a lot of optimism about an imminent rate cut. Over the past couple of weekends, at all price points in Sydney, I've noticed buyers' distinct lack of appetite to stretch their budgets. Bidders often start strong in auctions but stop once they hit the limits, unlike late last year when people were quite happy to go above it. Bidders are reluctant to bid above their budgets because they are a lot more conscious of affordability and serviceability of their mortgages. I think that's the new norm in terms of prices that are being achieved, which are still quite strong but not runaway. And Tim Lawless, research director at CoreLogic, said that there's been a subtle easing in clearance rates in Sydney over the past 4 weeks compared to the start of the year. Over the weekend alone, preliminary auction clearance rates in the city slipped to 73.8%, down from 74.3% in the previous week. Clearance rates have broadly slowed compared to the middle of last year, but are still higher than the long-term average and are still conducive to further price increases, which says to me that prices are likely to continue rising, although not as strongly as last year, Lawless said. And Louis Christopher said, while Sydney had performed better than his earlier forecast, there were signs the market had turned. We've seen some weakness in the housing market, and I suspect that the strength that we saw at the beginning of the year is just not there anymore, he said. I would think a number of would-be buyers were quite disappointed that the rate cut hasn't materialised, so they may have decided to wait on the sidelines just to see what the Reserve Bank will do. And in the meantime, we've seen a rise in listings in Sydney, so the market has been coming back to being reasonably supplied once more, which also eases upward pressure on prices. Melbourne's early results showed a slight lift to 72.7%, up from 70.8% in the week earlier. And nationally, clearance rates increased by 1.7 percentage points to 74.4%, bolstered by stronger results of 86.5% and 75% in Adelaide and Brisbane, respectively. Adelaide and Brisbane are continuing to show a strong run in their auction markets, although they have smaller portions of properties taken to auction, so they can be quite volatile, Lawless said. But if you read through the noise, they are holding well above the long-term average clearance rate, which is reflective of the strong conditions we're seeing in those markets. CoreLogic's daily home value index showed that Perth gained 1.8% in the past 4 weeks, Adelaide was up 1.3%, and Brisbane up 0.8%, Sydney lifted 0.4%, while Melbourne fell slightly by 0.1%. And there were 1,888 auctions over the weekend. That's the lowest volume since the week ended February the 11th. Next week, about 1,900 properties are scheduled to go under the hammer, according to CoreLogic. So standing back, this higher for longer thing that we're seeing is definitely one of the drags. But I think Louis Christopher's onto a very important thought. If the jobless rate does begin to rise, this could have a very significant impact on future plans and indeed on those already with their mortgage repayments. As I've shown before, the stress levels are very high. A lot of people have negative cash flow, and yet they're working multiple jobs at the moment to be able to keep their heads just above water. If any of that changes, then all bets are off in terms of future price growth and indeed future sales transactions. So I do think we're at a transition point, and it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks. And just an aside, it's worth noting that the Bank of Mum and Dad is still the 10th biggest lender in the Australian market, despite the fact that the RBA doesn't seem very interested in what's going on in this sector of the market. Clearly, there's a big disconnect between what's happening on the ground and what the RBA thinks is happening. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.